A five-year-old was visiting Grandma and Grandpa. And Grandma was making homemade soup. And she sent Grandpa down to the basement to gather up some more canned vegetables. Now, the basement was a little rough. It wasn't a finished basement. It was still rough cinder block, dusty cement floor. Above your head, you could see the wooden beams loaded with cobwebs, dimly lit. A couple light bulbs down there that turned on with a pull string. And there are cobwebs everywhere. There's a good chance that every time you went in the basement, you were going to get a face full of them. So the basement was rough, but it was also a wonder for the eyes. All kinds of interesting things down there. Collectibles, canned fruits and vegetables of all kinds, old canning equipment, old license plates, old tools, old tractor parts, old milk crates, a number of things that were of mystery and interest to anybody, but especially to a five-year-old boy. Grandpa invited the grandson down to walk around, and the grandson just explored with his eyes wide open. The grandfather said, after a minute, noticing he was surveying just about everything, he said, "Well, are you scared?" The little boy looked at his grandfather and said, "No, Grandpa, I'm not scared, because you're here." You can't be scared when you're standing right next to somebody you love and trust. That's just one of the simple facts of life. And this little boy had no idea that he had stumbled across one of our great universal truths. Perfect love, perfect faith, perfect trust cast out fear. When we're with somebody we love and we trust, we know everything's going to be okay. Such is the case in life. Such is the case in our spiritual lives. And that person we trust, that person we love, is God. Now, hopefully we have family members and friends, people to remind us that we're not alone on this journey. It is a blessing to go through life with good family and good friends. But the only one who can assure us that we are forever connected in this life and in the next life is God. God's promise is a wonderful promise. God is with us. God will always be with us. We are not abandoned in this life. We are not abandoned in the next. God is with us now. And God goes with us in the future, every step of the way. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, the metaphor for this special relationship is a grapevine. Jesus is the vine, we are the grapes. It's a rich image, one of fruitfulness, one of faithfulness. And as long as we stay connected, we bear much fruit. We thrive, we live, but whenever we are plucked off, we wither, dry up, and die. This establishes the pattern for the Christian life, a life of faith and hope, a life of faithfulness to God. We are to abide in God's love, and when we do that, God's love abides in us. Abide is a powerful word. It implies a sticking close together, a special relationship, a sacred relationship, one that can't be broken. John's Gospel repeats this word, abide, a lot. And he intended for it to mean more than a connection. John intended for this word to refer to an indwelling. Jesus isn't just around us. Jesus isn't just beside us. Jesus is within us. Jesus, Holy Spirit, is inside us. Literally, it is intimate. It is sacred. For example, the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, just one chapter before this one, we hear Jesus speaking, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms." When Jesus hits the word rooms, that is the word mone, literally abide, to abide. In other words, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, many abiding places, many places where we can stay, many places where we can abide, many places where we can rest, many places where we can get away, many places where we can recharge. Think of a nice hotel room. When you are desperate to get away somewhere, where you need to get away, where you need to recharge, where you need to rest, first thing you do when you walk in that motel room, you see that bed and you think to yourself, ah. And you hit that bed and you stretch out and you sprawl out and you're relaxed and you're enjoying that good feeling. Hey, you want to go sightseeing? Nope, I'm staying right here. Hey, you want to go out and get something to eat? Nope, I'm staying right here. Hey, you want to hit the pool? Nope, I'm staying right here. It feels just that good. That's how God's love is. That's how God's presence is with us. That's what John was trying to describe, this relationship where there is this indwelling. We abide in God, God abides in us. We hotel with God, God hotels with us. And my apologies, anytime somebody uses a noun as a verb, I know some people don't like that, but I'm trying to get a point across. That's what's being conveyed here. This is God indwelling in us, abiding in us. So shift back to John 15. John has moved from hotel rooms to grapevines. Think of the intimacy of that metaphor. Grapes all clustered together, jam-packed right next to one another, and all clustered around the vine, the life source, the thing that keeps us alive, the thing that keeps us vibrant, the thing that allows us to bear much fruit. That grapevine was an ancient metaphor for Israel. Going back way before Jesus, in fact, 800 years before Jesus, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, 800 years before Jesus, that metaphor was still in full use. And feel free, anytime you hear Ahab and Jezebel, to boo. They're the villains. They're the bad guys. Unfaithful to God. You may remember the story of Naboth's vineyard. If so, you'll remember that it was Ahab and Jezebel who stole the vineyard from Naboth so that they could have it for themselves. They wanted to expand their royal territory. The sin of stealing that land was bad enough in and of itself, but this all gets intensified by the symbolism. Grapes, grapevine, represented Israel. They wanted it for a garden, a vegetable garden that symbolized Egypt and Babylon and all of these foreign influences. That was the ultimate slap in the face for Israel. You take something that's sacred, you take something that belongs to Israel, something that is sacred to God, and you turn it over to your enemies. It's like throwing pearls before swine. Ugh. Now we have the restoration of the vineyard. The vineyard is a spiritual designation now. The vineyard is within us and can be never taken away again, never stolen from us, never stripped from us. Jesus is the vine. We are the grapes, a sacred relationship which can never be taken away from us, and one in which we flourish as long as we stay connected with God. Yes, connected with God, but also connected with one another. John emphasizes this point in this same chapter, just a few verses down, just a few verses beyond what Jen just read for us, verse 12, verse 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. The great commandment, the new commandment, the New Testament, and the scriptural basis for our vision, to love as Jesus loves. Staying connected to God means loving as Jesus loves. We are all connected like grapes on this vine, all stuck together, all connected together, so we might as well get used to it and start loving one another. So I guess it's a challenge for us sometimes to stay connected with God, right? We've got other things going on on Sunday morning. We've got sports. We've got music. Maybe we're exhausted. Maybe we've got work. Maybe we've got other things going on. Being intentional about staying connected with God helps us flourish. But I would think that even more challenging sometimes is staying connected with one another. When you look around at the world, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Relationships are a mess. And I'm not specifically talking about families and marriages today, although, you know, I could be. Families and marriages are always, from time to time, strained. I'm thinking more of communal relations, relations beyond family, relations beyond marriages, relations beyond family and friends. And the larger we expand, the greater we go out, the more we see we're fractured, we're broken. The sense of community is broken down. The sense of love for neighbor has broken down. The sense of love for stranger has broken down. The sense of love for enemy, if it ever existed. I don't know, maybe it hasn't ever existed, the sense of love for enemy. You know, maybe here or there, maybe in a couple pockets of extreme Christianity, extreme faithfulness to God. The point being, there is unrest in the world. It's like all the grapes are plucked off the vine and they're just laying around on the ground, all cut off from one another, rotting, sour grapes. A friend of mine recently lamented, what is happening with the world? What has gone on? Has the world lost its mind? Well, it's not new. It's been happening for years. It simmers constantly, and occasionally it just boils over. I suppose that's what's happening. It's bubbling over. When my son Josiah was in the late elementary years, he was watching news with us, and old enough to be watching news and reflecting on the world around him. And he was observing a pretty sad story and some of the intolerance that human beings have for one another. And he said to us something kind of profound. I'll always remember it. He said, America's no longer the melting pot. America's now the boiling pot. Well, isn't that telling? The constant simmering has boiled over. We might go back to simmering. And we may even walk away from the stove, only to find out that it keeps boiling over, over and over and over again. You know, anger can be a good thing. It can be a healthy emotion. But there is a fine line between anger and hatred. And there is a way to deal with it and a way not to deal with it. And if it is dealt with in an unhealthy way or if it's not dealt with at all, it is like that simmering pot that just boils over and causes a huge mess. And once hatred settles in our hearts, pretty much anything can happen. It rips us off the vine. It just waits for us and watches for us to wither and die. How is it restored? Apart from God, it isn't. God alone heals. God alone restores. That's what we celebrate in worship. The restoration of community. The restoration of our lives, the restoration of our families, the restorations of our friendships. That's what we celebrate in communion. Jesus' body was broken so we might be whole. Jesus' blood was squeezed out of the vine for our salvation. Abide in God, and abide in God's love, and God's love will abide in us, so that we might see the face of Jesus Christ in our family, in our friends, in our community, in some stranger we've never met, and maybe, maybe, if we stay connected with God, maybe we can even see that face of Jesus Christ in our enemy. So be it. Amen.